My son Zachary is a Amazon junkie. Did you have something, Wayne? Yeah, I think it is, yes. But my son, Zach, who's addicted to Amazon, he has to order something. Every day something comes in the mail. And for some reason, he saw this elephant and decided to buy it, and he put it downstairs in our basement. And we walked down to the basement, and we said, "What in the world is that?" And he says, "Oh, that's the elephant in the room. We don't talk about that." So that's the only reason he bought it, was just to say that. But I saw that and I thought, God quickened something in my spirit. And he said, that will make a good sermon. So I've been playing this elephant with this elephant for a couple of weeks now. And the message I'm going to talk about today, we're still talking about God's balance sheet and balance in what we do. We talked about grace and faith for the last couple of weeks. But today we're going to talk about something that I've had three pastors that I've talked to in the last week says, you can't talk about that. You absolutely can't preach it. This is only your third Sunday preaching. You can't talk about that. I've been in, when I was in Florida, was under three different pastors down there, and they all said the same thing. You can't talk about this. You can't bring that up in church. That's not a subject to talk about in church. We can't talk about that. It's the elephant in the room. So what's the elephant in the room? Money. Money, money, money. And you know, I find it very interesting. Did you know that money is the number one cause of money problems?
Maybe it's the lack of.
Yes. Money's the number one cause of bankruptcy. Obvious, right? Seriously, though, money is the number one cause of divorce in homes. Number one cause. Money's the number one cause of church splits. Money's the number one cause of churches failing. Money's the number one reason churches are unable to reach their communities. So, why on this, on my third Sunday, am I talking about money? Because it's such a taboo subject in churches. Is it because, New Point Church needs money. Pastor's preaching about money. Nope, that's not the reason I'm talking about it. Oh, well, the pastor must want a raise. That's why he's talking about money. Nope, I don't take any money out of the church. Well, it must be, I don't know, why are you talking about money? It must be nobody's given. Nope, actually, from what I can tell thus far, this church is really good. They're above the statistics in terms of giving. But I just feel like that if those of you who know me in the past, I got really involved in Dave Ramsey stuff and followed him for quite a while. Now, I don't believe everything he teaches, but I believe a lot of what he teaches because it's scriptural and it's biblical. And if we don't talk about money and finances from the church, then how are people going to learn how to handle money? If we don't ever talk about it, how are people going to know how to handle money? And that's something that God put on my heart a long time ago, to talk about finances. I got the opportunity to preach several times when I was in Florida at a couple of different churches. And God always brought money up. And the pastor would come to me and say, I'm glad you're talking about it because I can't talk about it as the pastor. I'm like, what are you talking about? You can't talk about it as best. Yeah, we talk about a pastor. Everybody gets all edgy and upset, and they think pastors are just out to make a fortune. That's what they're in the ministry for, is they're just salesmen to make money. No, not at all. And yet, pastors won't talk about it. It's kind of interesting that hopefully you can keep up with me, Adam. I'm jumping around a little bit, so. But it's definitely one of the biggest controversies. We all know Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not from works, so that no one can boast. We are saved by grace through faith. What's that? Is the elephant in the way? See, the elephant in the room is in the way. So we'll move the elephant over here. I don't know. So, if you don't give, are you not going to go to heaven? No, of course not. Giving is not about whether you go to heaven or not, or whether you're saved or not, that has no bearing. Remember, you don't have to do anything to go to heaven because it's by his grace through faith. So, no, you don't have to give to go to heaven. But one of the things I read an author had written, and he said, it was Andrew Womack, and he said, out of your faith, our good works manifest. So in many opinions, if somebody truly understands how great a gift they have been given, they will expend the energy to give back. I thought that was pretty good. If we know how good God is and the gift that he gave to us, how easy it is to give back. Yet I talk to people all the time in the church, and we talk about finances, and I know there's people in this church that I've talked to about finances, there's people in other places I've talked to about finances. And I just want to give a little bit of a testimony today, because sometimes, you know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't follow me in everything I do because I screw up a lot. But God's blessed me with finances. And I just kind of want to share a little bit of our testimony as I talk today, if that's okay with everybody. So I was born in the hospital to be close to my mother. No, I won't go back there. I won't go back that far. When I was a kid growing up, and I'm sure Mom and Dad can remember this, Dad used to say I let money burn a hole in my pocket. I'd get a dollar and I'd want to spend two. Every time I got money, it was gone within like no time, whether it was buying candy or buying junk. Sadly, my kids have inherited that a little bit, and understanding money and finances, but I like to spend money. Who likes to spend money here? We all kind of like to spend money. If we have it to spend, we like to spend money. Sometimes if we don't have it to spend, we don't have it. Yes, Wayne?
That's what it's for.
Yeah, exactly. It's what it's for. I've heard lots of people say, but money's the root of all evil. No, it's not. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's not money itself. God needs money in his kingdom to further his kingdom, to reach people, to send people to Africa, and to send people to the far corners of the earth. It takes money to do that. And it's not the money that's evil, it's the love of the money. When we love our money more than we love giving it, that's where we get into trouble. But anyway, I like to spend money. Growing up, we got married very young. We were 19 years old when we got married. I was in the service, and we all know that Uncle Sam pays really well. Doesn't pay very well. And we were living in an apartment above our means. But, you know, we had an image to maintain because, you know, we were cool like that. But we were living in an apartment above our means, and pretty soon, I know they've started doing it again, but back then, you'd get a credit card thing in the mail all the time. Somebody would send you credit card stuff, one after the other. Just sign your name here and get a credit card. And so we did. And we started accumulating debt a little by little. And still living above our means. So that means we were spending more money every month than we were bringing in. So how else are you going to pay with it? Get the old plastic out. We'll pay with it with plastic. So we got to a point where I think we were maybe $15,000-$20,000 in debt. And we just couldn't afford to live where we were living anymore. So we decided to move to another house. It was a little bitty house in the middle of Manhattan, Kansas. Actually, it wasn't in the middle of Manhattan, Kansas. It was on the outskirts of Manhattan, Kansas. I was stationed at Fort Riley, and Janice was pregnant with, Brianna had just been born. I'm sorry. Brianna had just been born. So we're there, and we have no air conditioning in this little apartment because we can't afford one. We're in debt. None of the credit card companies are willing to give us credit cards anymore because there's a thing called a credit report that starts going bad when you don't pay your bills. Now, we hid this very well. We were very good at hiding this from people. Nobody knew this. I don't even know if Mom and Dad knew this. But we got into quite a bit of trouble financially. No air conditioner. I remember the day it got so hot, it was like 99 degrees in Kansas, and Kansas is a hot place if you've ever been in Kansas. And Brianna was getting so sick because she was throwing up from the heat and everything else, and we hawked everything we had just so we can get an air conditioner for Brianna. And that was kind of the first time I got a little bit of a wake-up call and says, hey, you better stop spending money, because you spend money that you don't have. That's not a good thing, to spend money that you don't have. Yet, I see so many people doing it. I don't know why we fall into that trap. It's Satan's trap, to trap us with our finances, because he knows that our finances, if he can attack us with our finances, he's got us. So we got to where we decided we were going to start paying off our credit cards, living in this little place. I mean, we hawked our TV and our VCR. We couldn't see anything. We had this little Chevy Chevette that had no air conditioning in it. It was my first car that we had, and I think I had it before we got married, but you don't realize until it's 99 degrees every day how much you need air conditioning in a car, and how spoiled we are as Americans because we don't have air conditioning. But once again, we're trying to drive back and forth. It was the only car we had. I had to drive into base, or Janice would have to drop me off because she needed the car that day, and Brianna would be with her, and Brianna's getting sick again because it's so hot in that car, and the car just doesn't even. So we had started paying off some of our credit card debt, and we needed a new car. It was just kind of, we got to have air conditioning in our car. That was all there was to it. Now, there was other ways to get air conditioning in the cars that would have been a whole lot cheaper, but no. I had to buy a brand new car, because that's the cool thing to do. So we went out and we bought a brand new Escort, I believe, a little red Escort, because it had air conditioning, and boy, was that air conditioning nice. But once again, now we're bringing our debt back up again. Oh my goodness, there's another $30,000 in debt we are. So about this time, we're about $40,000 in debt. We have no equity of any kind, meaning we didn't own any assets, really, other than the car. We'd hawked everything we had. We're living along, and lo and behold, Discover comes along and says, hey, sign up for another credit card. So what did we do? We signed up for another credit card. So we're living in Kansas, still living way beyond what we should, because we couldn't afford that car payment for that new car that we got. So we're there, and We got out of the service, ended up moving back here to Pekin. We lived in a little house in Pekin, a little, real small little house on Catherine Street at the time. Ryan was on his way at that time. And we had just gotten, I got a good job at Pekin Insurance. So was working at Pekin Insurance at that time. And I thought I was making $1 million. I think I was making $20,000 a year. But at that time, I thought I was making a lot of money compared to what the Army paid, which is about $10,000 a year. I thought I doubled my salary. But we were still just barely getting by, barely able to pay the bills. We were finally able to afford the car, finally able to afford everything. We just got this new credit card, and we're struggling. And we went to this church service, and it was at, some of you know who Randy Hall is. It was at his church, and I don't remember who the speaker was. But the speaker there got up, and he talked about finances and talked about debt and talked about money. And he said, I'll tell you what, God's word says, give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But that's hard to grasp onto. When you don't have any money to give, it's like, what do you mean give? And then he said, but not just give of your first fruits. Don't give what's left over. God doesn't want leftovers. He wants the first fruits. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how are we going to afford anything, let alone 10% of my income? Because there was no way. We're living paycheck to paycheck. We had no savings. We're in a lot of debt. But this man who got up and talked, he says, I am so sure that if you give, that you will receive, that if you, I will give you a year. You come back to me in 1 year, I'll give you all my name and my number. And if you give and tithe regularly, and God does not bless you financially, I'll give you all your money back. No questions asked. And I thought, well, I got nothing to lose here. Might as well sign up for that deal. And we did. We started giving. We didn't give 10% at first, and I'll talk a little bit about the 10% and what that means, but we gave what we thought we could. We were still given the last fruits, not the first fruits. But God started doing something in our lives. When we started that I had written down, we were about $70,000 in debt. That doesn't include a house, that doesn't include a car, that was credit card debt, $70,000 in credit card debt. And you think, how in the world are you gonna get out of that trouble? And things just, we would start getting money from places we wouldn't expect. We'd go to the mailbox and there'd be a check in the mail because we overpaid some bill that we didn't even know we paid. Or we'd have a check in the mail because somebody said, hey, we wanna bless you guys. And pretty soon, things kind of started turning around a little bit. And it just is, one of the biggest lessons I think I learned from that situation is that when you give, you receive. Now, that's not a reason to give. We should give willingly out of our heart. But that's also not a reason to not give. I know that sounds difficult to hear. When you don't have money and you're sitting there and saying, oh man, I don't know what to do. I'm at the end of my rope. We've been there. I know exactly what that feels like. We've been at the end of our rope financially before. We said, God, what do we do? And he said, give to me. I've already made a promise to you. Give and you'll receive. You know, Jesus talked about tithing too. He did. A lot of people say, well, tithing's an Old Testament thing. We don't believe in tithing anymore. Well, it's in my Bible. It's in the New Testament. Jesus talked about it at least five different times. It's in the New Testament several places. But one, he was talking to the Pharisees, and he was talking about giving, and he said, don't just go give for your own sake of giving, so everybody in front of everybody, oh, I'm going to go give all my money in front of everybody. But instead, you should be doing these other things. Oh, and also, you should be tithing. And Jesus also said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which is God. Now, we had some good friends in wherever we were at. Florida, thank you. My mind's going. So we had some good friends in Florida, and they were convinced that, but we give of our time. We give of our time. Our time is our tithe. Fantastic. Praise God that you people who give of their time, because I think that's a fantastic thing. But all of these scriptures I'm talking about when it talks about giving isn't talking about time. It's talking about finances and money. It's talking about finances and money. So let's talk a little bit, and I'll come back to our story in a minute. Tithing means tenth. That's all that it means is tenth. But here's something a lot of people didn't know. Did you know there were three tithes in the Old Testament? Three tithes, not one, three. The first one was the Levitical tithe, or the sacred tithe, or the tithe they gave to the Levites, okay? That was to support the ministry. Not any different than we have today. We tithe to support the ministry. And that was one-tenth of the salary. If you want to know where that's at, that was in Numbers 18, 21, and 24. And it goes clear back to Abraham, which is in Genesis chapter 14. The second tithe is in Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 27. The second tithe was the tithe of the feast. And this occurred every 3 years, but it was a time that they gave, and it's interesting if you study it at all. The tithe of the feast was really a time that people saved money to go on vacation. I know that kind of sounds a little bit odd, but it wasn't just vacation. It was gathering together at a feast with other believers. So that's where the second tithe came from. The third tithe was a tithe to the poor. They were required to give a tithe to the poor. Now, for those of you who are bad at math, which I am in my head sometimes, this next slide talks about, I did a little bit of math for it. So if we have a $1,000 paycheck, and we give the first tenth, that's the Levitical tithe of $100, we're left with $900. And I know what people are saying, man, if I get $1,000, I'm lucky to have $100 to pay at the end of that. Then there's the tithe of the feast, which happens every 3 years. So if you take 10% of what's left, which is $90, and divide it by three because it's every 3 years, there's another $30 that they gave in the Bible. And then there's the tithe of the poor, which is another 10% of what's left, or $870. So at the end of your $1,000, if you give God your first fruits, that's actually 22%. not 10%, which is kind of interesting because people always ask, well, how much should I give? How much should I give? And the common answer is a tenth. I will never tell you how much you should give because I believe that's between you and the Lord. The Lord will prompt you as to what you are to give. He may prompt you to give 20%. Wayne's a millionaire. He may prompt him to give a lot of money. I know your wife shops a lot. That's what it is, right? But that equates to 22% of somebody's income. It's no longer a tenth. So I always thought that was kind of interesting about the whole 22% and not 10% that was given. Let me share some statistics with you because this is really alarming. It's alarming for the church because of 1,000 people were surveyed, and I got this survey. I'll share the link on our website of where I got this survey at. They surveyed 1,000 churchgoers. Now, I don't know what they mean by a churchgoer, but I would assume that's people that go to church regularly. They surveyed 1,000 people, and they asked who gives regularly, regularly being when they get a paycheck, they give. Okay? So who gives regularly? In 2015, 29% of the church gave regularly. Today, that's 14% of the church gives regularly. 14%. Now, if that number came, I preached this message very similar to this in 2 years ago, and that number was 17%. So it went from 29 to 17, now it's to 14%. It's going down fast. What percent of income did these people, of the people who gave, what percent of their income did they give? In 2015, the average is 8.9% of their income, and that's gross income. Today, of the people who give, only 5.9% of their income is given. They surveyed leadership in the church. This one just blew me away. Of the leadership in church, only 31% gave regularly. That was in 2015. Today, only 17% give regularly. Now, this is the one that is amazing to me because if the church doesn't teach about money, who's going to teach about it? Where are you going to learn it from? Pastors that taught on tithing in the last 5 years, the average in 2015 was 5 times in 5 years. That's 1 time a year that they taught on tithing. In 2019, I don't know how you can teach a half a time on tithing, but that was the average. That means in 5 years, there was a lot of churches that never once heard a message on tithing or giving or anything. If those numbers continue, I did a little bit of math. I didn't have a slide in it. If those numbers continue, the church as we know it today will not exist. There won't be church buildings for people to go to. There won't be pastors to preach the word because most pastors do it full time, and I'm a huge believer that the pastor should be supported by the church. Not, I'm not saying that for me. I'm saying that for those pastors that are out there that are burnt out and tired and worn out and financially hurting and living in poverty. I know a lot of those pastors. When we were growing up, the pastor got supported, and he made a good living off the church, and that's the way that it should be. It shouldn't be pastors living in poverty. That one just bothers me for some reason. So, back to our story. So we started giving. And I do want to say, you know, I want to kind of preface this with this. Please understand my heart. My heart is to share some of this stuff, not to make us look better, but just so you can know what happens when God works.
Well, $70,000 in debt. Showing yourself better.
That's right. That's exactly. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate that. Oh, my goodness. Thanks for settling, putting me back on the ground with that one, Greg. Well, we started giving. We learned that we needed to tithe regularly. And we saw that debt just, it came down so fast. There's nothing short of a miracle how that debt came down. How you get $70,000 out of debt literally in 2 years was just nothing but a miracle. Because I wasn't still, I mean, yeah, God gave us favor and he increased my salary and he gave us increase time and time again. But I'm telling you, God promised is yes and amen. And he says, give and it shall be given to you. It is. I promise you that it is. So we get where we're getting pretty close to out of debt, but because we're paying so much off, we're still like living paycheck to paycheck and month to month and still pretty tight. We had just moved to Bloomington, and Janice was driving. In fact, she'd started working too, and Janice was driving home from work, and she saw this guy under a viaduct in Bloomington, and the Lord just spoke to her. Now, God speaks to everybody. We just have to listen to him, because sometimes, especially when it comes to money, we tend to want to say, oh, that's not God, that's the devil telling me to do something. But God speaks to us, and he said, go buy that man some groceries. I don't know, we didn't have the money to do it. If she had asked me, I probably would have said no, because I knew we didn't have much money. I hadn't quite learned completely what giving was all about, and giving with a cheerful heart, and giving because out of our abundance, not because we have to, not because we're compelled to, but because the Lord speaks to us and says, I want you to give. So Janice goes and she spends the last dime that we have on groceries for this man. And she brings them to him. And there was one thing in there particularly that the Lord spoke to. Do you remember what it was?
He wanted peaches.
Peaches. She was at the store and felt so strongly to buy a can of peaches for this man. So she goes and she brings him the bag of groceries, and he just tears running down his face. And then he opens up the bag and he sees the peaches. He said, I was just asking God to give me peaches. And here's the thing that was really strange about this story is she drove away and looked in her rearview mirror, and the man was gone, completely gone. I don't know if that was an angel or what, but that was amazing. And that was probably the first time in my own heart that I started realizing that giving, not because we have to, but because out of God's love for us, that we're giving out of God's love. And the thing that's amazing that happened right after that, and I don't know where this money came from, but right after that happened, all of our debt, you know, our credit card debt was gone. We had the money to pay all of that credit card debt. And I don't know what she spent, $100 or something on a couple bags of groceries, but given it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It will overflow. You can't even store what God has for us financially. So we're really kind of getting to this. Hey, this giving is kind of cool. We kind of like doing this. And we don't do it in front of people. We rarely do it in front of people. Just because we feel like that's a private thing. That's between us and God. What we want to give is between us and him. But over the next few years, one of the things that just amazed me. Now, a little bit about my background. I didn't have a college education for quite a while. Up until about 5 years ago, I had no college education. But God blessed, and his favor on my life was so enormous financially. It wasn't me. It wasn't anything I could do other than give back. This is God's money. I'm just giving back 10% of it. And what we found out pretty soon is that it's not just 10%. What happens if we give 15%? Or what happens if we give 20%? Or what happens if we give 25%? Because we can't outgive God. We can't. There's an interesting article I read. I don't remember what magazine it was. I was thinking Charisma, but I don't think it was in Charisma. Did you guys know that this is a spiritual law? The law of reaping and sowing is a spiritual law. And it works whether you're a believer or not a believer. And that the top 1%ers in the nation give about 25% of their income to charities. The Donald Trumps and the, I don't even know who they all are, the Bill Gates and the, they give about 25% on average of their income, and they're the 1%ers in the nation. I thought that was kind of interesting. And I'm sure some of them are believers and some of them aren't. But anyway, God just blessed us. I can't say it any other way. I got an opportunity in Bloomington and at the company I work for now, and they just blessed me to no end. I had the opportunity to start my own business 3 different times, and God blessed those every time. And ended up back at the company I'm at now. AFNI is the name of the company. Great company, great people. Have nothing negative to say about them. But one of the things that sometimes God teaches us lessons because we think we do things. It wasn't anything I did, but I kind of got this little bit of an arrogant attitude. I said, I'm so good at my job. Look at what I'm doing. I'm good. Look what God's paying me. I don't even have a college education, and look what God's paying me. I'm not going to tell you what that is, but let me tell you, I was paid very well. I'm in the IT space, and if you know IT, IT people get paid very well. Again, I don't say that to brag at all because it's not me at all. But God spoke to us about 5 years ago, and I missed a story in there somewhere. There was another story. I don't really remember, but anyway, well, I'll continue on. So about 5 years ago, my boss came to me at work, and I thought I was doing a fantastic job. I thought. Notice I'm saying I thought I was doing a fantastic job, because it's God's favor that gets us where we're at. I thought I was doing a really good job. And my boss comes to me and says, I'm supposed to lay you off today. And I'm thinking, I don't know if anybody's ever had that happen to them, but it is the worst feeling you could possibly imagine, because every thought goes through your head. I know you're supposed to trust God. I know you're supposed to trust Him. Yet everything in my mind was saying, how am I going to survive? What am I going to do? How are we going to pay our bills? Are we going to lose our house? Are we going to lose our car? Blah, 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 blah. Everything was going through my head at this time. I didn't know God had a plan for us, because God wanted me to let go of my pride of this is me doing this, because it's not me doing it. It's Him doing it. And sometimes He has to take away those things that cause us, He's a jealous God, to take us away from Him. So anyway, that was a good lesson for me. And what's the interesting part is we were really praying about what to do. And he said, I'll tell you what, work till Friday, and we'll come in and we'll give you a severance package and all of that stuff. Well, Friday came, and he walked in the office and says, I don't know what it is. I can't let you go. I can't let you go. Now, all the time this was going on, we had I had a company in Florida that was trying to get me to come to work for them. And I kept saying, no, I don't want to go to Florida. We love Illinois. Now I don't want to come back to Illinois. But anyway, long story short, we ended up going to Florida. God called us there. And first or second day we're there. And I want to tell you, after I got laid off and I got the job in Florida, it paid 50% more than I was making in Illinois. Not anything I could have done. It was all God's favor. So once again, Janice and I are, and how cool would this be if we started seeing this in Pekin, and I'll explain to you what I mean. But Janice and I were in the grocery store, and I rarely go to the grocery store. I do not like shopping. It's not my thing. That's Janice's thing, especially grocery shopping, because when I go grocery shopping, oh, there's Hershey bars over there. I like to grab all the good stuff when we go shopping. But we went shopping at this little bitty store. Piggly Wiggly or something like that? Winn-Dixie. Little bitty store in the middle of this little town in Florida. And we were standing in line behind this couple. And their credit card wouldn't work. And Janice and I, for some reason, God speaks to both of us at the same time. We looked at each other and we said, yep. And we knew exactly what we were supposed to do. So we went and we bought their groceries for them. It was about $400 worth of groceries. And just out of faith, we decided to buy their groceries for them. Don't have any idea who they are or what they do or anything. Didn't tell anybody about it. That was our thing. We feel like that's very personal. It was the next Sunday at church, and we had just started going to this church there, that the pastor came to us and they said, you guys did something, didn't you? I said, what do you mean we did something? I said, I know it was you guys. He said, what do you mean? Well, there's an article in the paper about these angels that came and gave and paid for these people groceries. And it was the last dime. They had no money to pay for those groceries. And it was a miracle for them. Now imagine if everybody, if everybody in Pekin got in line behind somebody and paid for their groceries, how awesome, what a testimony that would be to the body of Christ if we could see somebody in need and just say, hey, you know what, Greg, I see you need $1,000. Here's $1,000. But that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be givers because he's promised us a blessing if we give. But again, we don't give so we can receive. So many times as I've counseled with people on their finances, that the one of the biggest things I hear is, I can't afford to give. And my comeback to that is always, you can't afford not to give. That's not a reason to not give. Your reason to not give is because you can't afford it, because God already said, you're taken care of. So, but that's also not the reason to give, is so you get. Does that make sense? So that's the balance in that. So we give out of what God tells us to give. But we don't. We all know the scripture about the widow woman in Luke 21, 1 through 4. It says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts in the temple treasury. He also saw a poor woman put in two very small copper coins. Truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, and she gave all she had. Man, God's blessing is there for us. It's the faith. Do we trust God with our finances? That's hard. I'm telling you, we've been there. We've been there where we're penniless and we have more going out than we have coming in. And God says, give anyway. God says, give anyway. Not because the church is going to die if we don't, although it will. Not because pastor needs a raise, although that'd be kind of cool. But we want to reach this world for God. And unfortunately, things aren't free. It would be really nice if they were. It's amazing how, as we've been transferring things over from Crossroads, that we go and we'll ask people if they give a discount to churches or nonprofits. Only one or two of them ever did. None of the rest of them did. It's kind of cool that a couple of them did, but it's interesting that nothing's free. We got to pay for things. And one of the things that we'll be doing, this is just kind of a sidebar thing, there will be posting, you know, what our church finances is so everybody can see what they are. I know that hasn't been a common thing here, but you should know what the church finances are and where we're at. And so again, I'm not asking you. You may be somewhere else. You may be at another church somewhere with another speaker, and God says, I want you to give that man $1,000. So it doesn't matter where you are. You may be at the grocery store, and these couple in front of you can't pay for their groceries, and God might be saying, hey, I want you to pay for that. I I don't remember where I heard this at, but I know how I was. It's like, but God, that's my money. I worked really hard for this. And then they have to pry it out of your hands. But we've all done that. We've all been there. Because it's hard to trust God sometimes. And we were talking about trust last week. But if we really trust God with our finances and we have faith to trust him with our finances, we will give when God tells us to give. We won't even think about not having the money anymore. We'll give when God tells us to give. The scripture in Malachi, and I totally have lost where I'm at. So, Adam, I don't know how you're following along at all. But there's a scripture in Malachi that we've all heard. And this is the one. Bring all the tithes to the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Try me in this. Test me, God says. Now, God doesn't say that a whole lot. Test me in this. Bring your tithes to the storehouse and test me in this. That guy that got up and preached that sermon at Randy Hall's church that really kind of got us. And he said, hey, sign up. And if you don't, if God, your finances don't change when you start giving, then I'll pay it all back to you. Guess what? That was kind of a test for us because we didn't realize it. Test him. Test God in this. And it says, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. Amen. We should be shouting. We should be shouting. Because God's given us a promise. When we give, we'll receive. But that's not the reason to give. We give out of our hearts. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for your many blessings, Lord. And I pray your financial blessings on this church. I pray your financial blessings on every person in this body. Lord, that as they begin to understand the scriptural teaching on finances and how to manage their finances, with giving being just a part of that. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you will begin to pour out the blessing. And they'll take that blessing and they'll begin to pour it out on this community, Lord, in a way that this community, they'll never seen the love of God like this before. Because you're going to pour out your blessings in such a way. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that the people would receive this out of my heart, Lord, not receive this out of any obligation that we're trying to coerce people to give, Lord, because that's not where we're at. We just want people to walk in your blessing, to walk in the kingdom, Father, in the promises that you have for them. And we pray this right now in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. Amen. 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 You may be dismissed.